We push out onto the lawn. Fireflies wink to us with their shining tails. The air is calm and pleasant, and we're thrilled to have a show. For all Mrs. Nightwing's hand-wringing, the mummers are more clowns than criminals. Their faces have been blackened with burned cork, and their costumes are well worn, as if they have been walking England's roads for weeks. The tall man in the middle wears a tunic with the emblem of St. George upon it. Another man wears oriental dress, like a Turk. Yet another looks like a physician of sorts. I see the feet of two others beneath the costume of a dragon. The leader of the troop steps forward. He's a tall, gangly fellow, with hair that wants cutting. His face has the sharp planes of the thin and hungry. He wears a top hat that has seen better days, and his tunic is greying. In his hand is a wooden sword. He speaks with the rolled R's and airs of a music hall actor.
"What story shall we tell to enthrall you, my fair damsels? Do you wish a tale of sweet love, or a tale of adventure and possible death?"
Excited gasps trickle through our motley crew of girls. Someone calls for love, but she is shouted down.
"Adventure and death!"
we cry. The romantic girl pouts, but there it is. Death is infinitely more thrilling.
"Perhaps the tale of St. George conquering the dragon, then. A princess fair on the brink of sacrifice. Will she live? Will she die? Tonight, we shall introduce to you a hero, a doctor, Doubt, the Turkish knight, and, of course, a dragon. But first, we require a princess. Is there one among you who would be our doomed maiden fair?"
Immediately, the girls beg to be chosen. They wave their hands and clamour for attention, while the mummer appraises us while slowly striding up and down.
"You there, my titian-haired lady."
It takes me a moment to realise that the mummer points to me. By virtue of being the tallest and having the reddest hair, I've stood out.
"Would you honour us by being our maiden fair?"
Oh, go on with you," Felicity says, giving me a push forward.
"Ah, thank you, fair maiden."
He places a crown upon my head.
"Our princess."
The girls are disappointed. They clap half-heartedly.
"Let us begin our tale in a most bucolic city-state, where a golden river runs. But what is this? Alas, a dragon has built its nest there."
The men in the dragon costume move forward, growling and snarling. They hold a pennant to suggest fire.
"The citizens, living in mortal terror, can no longer draw water from the river, so frightened are they of the hideous beast. And so they devise a desperate plan. They sacrifice a princess to the dragon to satisfy his hunger. A daily sacrifice."
The younger girls gasp. There are a few girlish screeches. Felicity calls out, "Bad luck, Gemma!" And the older girls fall into laughter. Even Miss McCleathy and Mademoiselle Lafarge chuckle at this. I am well loved. How fortunate. The dragon's incinerating breath grows more appealing by the second. The mummer doesn't care for having his show corrupted in such a fashion. He uses his most commanding voice. It thunders in the dusky air in a way that brings goosebumps to my arms.
"The fair princess screams for salvation!"
He points to me, waiting. I answer his patience with a perplexed expression.
"Scream!"
he whispers. "Ah!" It is the most anemic scream in the history of screaming. The mummer's irritation shows beneath his bearded smile.
"You are a maiden fair on the precipice of death. The fearsome dragon's flaming breath mere inches from your red-gold curls. You shall burn like tinder. Scream! Scream for your life!"
It seems a simple request, and yet I'm far too mortified by it all to utter a sound. The crowd waits restlessly. I might remind them that I did not volunteer for this role. A soul-splitting screech rings out, loud and true. It sends shivers running through me. It's Anne. Hand to forehead, she screams, playing the part like Lily Trimble herself. The mummers cheer.
"Ah, there is our princess!"
They bring forth Anne and place the crown upon her head. I am ushered back to the other girls with nary a thank you for my efforts. "I wasn't as bad as all that," I grumble when I am by Felicity's side. Fee pats my arm. The pat says, "Indeed, you were."